Bud Padgett here, talking with Mike Rothman, who wants to be the Minnesota Attorney General. Now, Mike, you have been the Commerce Commissioner. And I've got to tell you, I don't always feel like I know what the Commerce Commissioner does. So I know you want to talk about your next job, but could you take a minute and talk about what the role of the Commerce Commissioner has been and how that has shaped your qualifications, interests, and desire to be the Attorney General?
Well, first, let me thank you for having me on, Doug, today. This is a really good opportunity to talk about my role as Commerce Commissioner, and then what I would like to do as Attorney General. You know, as Commissioner of Commerce, you think about that, it has been under my watch, the top consumer watchdog for Minnesotans. And that was my motto, basically not on my watch, so that whenever there were issues that came up, we would stand strong and protect Minnesota's consumers. But what does that mean? You know, as Commissioner of Commerce, I oversaw more than 20 industries, and that includes everything from insurance, real estate, banking, and the energy sector. So I worked hard to build our clean energy economy, to protect our state's beautiful lakes and resources, and improve the access to affordable health care throughout our state. Mm-hmm. And it's a statewide office, meaning, I was out whenever there was a major disaster in Minnesota, things like the tornado that went through Minneapolis, the flooding up in Duluth, mudslides in the south. It's the job of the Commissioner of Commerce to help Minnesotans recover, whether that's from insurance recoveries or to hold bad guys accountable who are coming in from other states like contractors. Mm-hmm. Overall, consumer protection was my top priority. Another major issue was protecting senior citizens from financial abuse and exploitation. And that was a red flag for all of my staff. Whenever we had somebody, a senior calling in or somebody being scammed, we worked very hard to stop it in its tracks. Hmm. And so with a lot of the consumer background, including saving Minnesotans over $1 billion over the tenure that I had, it's a great way. It's a lot of experience that I bring to the core function of the Attorney General's office, which has been over the last 40, 50 years all about protecting consumers, standing up to make sure that the marketplace doesn't have bad guys and things like that working in it. And that's what I did as Commissioner of Commerce.
So I can see directly how that role, being the watchdog and having a protection attitude for the people of Minnesota, and thank you for that work, is an important part of being the Attorney General. But I would imagine that just as in all parts of life, sometimes our greatest qualities or our greatest features in one role can become a detriment to another. And the Attorney General has a role distinct from being the Commissioner of Commerce. So the Attorney General has to represent something more, larger, something that's not, doesn't have an attacking and protection side. I don't think it's to be a lapdog, but I don't know what the metaphor for the other kind of dog would be. Maybe you do. Maybe you wanted to move from being a watchdog to another kind of a dog. But how do you think being the Commerce Commissioner, what are you going to have to work hard on when you are the Attorney General that's different than being the Commissioner of Commerce?
Well, first of all, the Attorney General is the people's lawyer. And I have 30 years of practice being an attorney, including practicing law in courtrooms and appellate courts all the way, briefing in the United States Supreme Court. And so the function of the Attorney General is to really be the lawyer for the state of Minnesota to protect our state agencies, but also to bring lawsuits on behalf of Minnesotans, which I have the most experience of, frankly, with all of the candidates that are there. The combined experience of working and managing a statewide office, plus being a lawyer for 30 years, it's a very important thing. Now, let me touch on a couple other things. First of all, I think, yes, the role of Attorney General in this day and age has changed a little bit. There's a lot of national issues that are very serious across the United States and in Minnesota that are impacting us. Just last week, for example, the idea that someone would allow 3D plastic guns, or that we would take back the auto emission standards. The Attorney General will have to stand up for the people of Minnesota whenever there's an unlawful or unconstitutional matter that harms them. So that's another area that I plan to work in. But let's just stick to some of these other things. You know, it's very important. Some of my top priorities will include tackling and taking on the opioid crisis. Wherever I go, when I talk to people, whether it's at a restaurant or, you know, I'm up near Pine City or over in Bemidji, the opioid crisis is a really important matter. And what I've said is I will bring an action against the opioid manufacturers on day when I first start off. And that ultimately we need to have recovery mechanisms. And then what I'd said is I'd launch a task force. There are many, many issues like that. And I would have to agree with you. When I oversaw the health insurance marketplace, a good example, you know, the marketplace was on the point of collapsing. It was practically in the emergency room.
Right.
And I said, look, we need to get this patient out of here. It's over 200, maybe 300,000 people that depend on that for their life and for their insurance. And I worked very hard across with the industry to try to figure out a pathway to success. We saved that collapse from happening. And I worked across the aisle in a fashion to be able to make sure that people had access to affordable health care. There's ways in which you have to somebody that can be a very strong watchdog, but also take reasonable approaches, but will stand strong for Minnesotans. And again, no other candidate is ready to protect that than I am on day one.
Yeah, I've mentioned this to other people I've interviewed. You always want to talk about yourself in your election, not your opponents. But I think in this case, that's something you're wanting to stress, is that some of the more well-known other people seeking this office might not have been functioning as lawyers. And while lawyers have a strange reputation in our society, right, they're not always thought of with the most high regard. When you need a lawyer, you really understand the need of a lawyer. Go ahead. Do you want to say something about that?
Yeah, no, I was just going to say, look, I believe that if you take a look at my experience, my qualifications, that there's no comparison. That, in fact, the Star Tribune came out and recently endorsed me on the notion, and for the reason that, one, I have the ability on the core function of the Attorney General's to work hard to protect Minnesotans. I have the experience, both as a litigator, an attorney, courtroom attorney, and as somebody who has overseen a large state agency, to walk into the office from day one without on-the-job training. And that's very, very important. Plus, I also have had the experience of working on behalf of all Minnesotans, not just a single district, but all Minnesotans across the state for 7.5 years. And I think that makes the difference. And in the end of the day, when it comes down to the primary, we want, I believe, somebody who can win in the general election, somebody who has a profile that will make sure that at the end of the day, because of the experience and qualifications for people who are looking for an attorney to work for them, that I'll be the one that is the best for people and ready to start.
For the last 11 years, Lori Swanson has been in this role, and every role like this is shaped by the person that's in it. That's why some people run as opposed to someone else, and why, while you might be similar on some topics, the personality of every leader shapes their shapes the role that they perform. I'm not asking you to critique the Lori Swanson tenure, but what would you imagine if you were Attorney General for 11 years? What would your 11 years look like that would feel different for the people of Minnesota, or feel similar for the people of Minnesota, as to what the 2007 to 2018 period of time under Lori Swanson have felt like?
Fundamentally, in my heart, have a passion to protect seniors, veterans, and the most vulnerable. I will stand strong. I will protect our families. I'll work on shutting down fraud and abuse, fighting for access to affordable health care needs and basic needs. When you look at the attorney generals over the last 40, 50 years, we have had some terrific attorney generals who focus on their leadership, standing strong for Minnesotans, standing up against corporations who are doing bad things. That's That's what I have a passion for doing. That's combining my legal experience and the consumer watchdog experience. And that's one of the core functions of the Attorney General. Going forward, the Attorney General will also have to have an outward or an outreach aspect of it, meaning I will go out and about, just like I did as Attorney General or as Minnesota Commerce Commissioner, to other parts of the state, to Duluth, to Rochester, to places in local communities. Now, I grew up in Chaska, Minnesota, which at the time was rural, right in the cornfields. I have a perspective of rural Minnesota, who often say, you know, they don't, people in St. Paul don't get it. I think the Attorney General definitely needs to be able to understand that and the dynamic of the economy, where we're going and what really drives people and where their concerns are. And when you talk to people in the cafeterias at the small towns and farms across Minnesota, those are serious issues that are out there that they need help with. And those are the kinds of things that I'll work on as Attorney General.
You're hearing Mike Rothman. He's seeking your vote for him as Attorney General of the great state of Minnesota. Mike, thanks. We're going to go to a commercial here. And when we come back, I've got a couple of questions for you about what you see coming in the future that someone like you, who's going to be Attorney General, would know to pay attention to that some of the rest of us might not know to be thinking about. So stick with us here over the break. AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. I'm Doug Pace.
Now through September 1st at the Museum of Russian Art is an exhibition of Minneapolis-based painter Leon Husha. The Art of Leon Husha, Balancing Act, showcases more than 50 pieces from 29 different collectors in the largest show ever of his bold and colorful work. A hometown favorite, the energy of Leon's playful art spans sculptures, paintings, and non-traditional media. See for yourself today and bring home a signed print or exhibition catalog from the museum store. For details, visit tmora.org.
Hey Minnesota, Norman Goldman here. Catch me live every weeknight from 5 to 8 p.m. right here on AM 950. Whether it's a recap of the day's news, legal analysis, or teaching civics, justice is always served on the Norman Goldman Show. Today on the show, we've got senior legal analyst time as the Paul Manafort trial is actually rocketing to its finish. The judge is making sure of that. Also, reverberations from the indictment of the Republican congressman. Join me every weeknight from 5 to 8 on AM 950.
Hi, Gregory Rich, host of AM 950's Drink in the Style. Are you a fan of cool? Then let me introduce you to Gus Modern. Available exclusively in the Twin Cities at Habitation Furnishing and Design, Gus Modern is kind of mid-century, kind of contemporary, and 100% cool. Timeless, comfortable, awesome, and through August 19th, 20% off. Visit GusModern.com or stop in at Habitation at 4317 Excelsior Boulevard and check it out.
Turn to Auto Technical with your vehicle donation. We have families waiting for a car. You know, over 85% of unemployed are successful in finding and keeping a job if they have dependable transportation. A car plus a job equals a life changed. 612-919-5526. We have families waiting for a car. 919-5526 or autotech.org.
The only thing more truly Minnesotan than our weather is our state fair. So Standard Heating and Air Conditioning decided to make the most of them both with our state fair sale. Install a high-efficiency furnace by September 3rd, and you can also get a new air conditioner starting at just $2,500. That's a whole lot of comfort and peace of mind for not a lot of money. Discover how you can take advantage of Standard's state fair sale at standardheatingdeals.com. Standard Heating and Air Conditioning. Comfort you deserve.
Hi, Matt McNeil for Rudy Luther Toyota. With summertime here, my family is super excited about the road trips we'll be taking in our Toyota Sienna. We're going to be putting a lot of miles in, but a Sienna is the most comfortable way to drive. Plenty of room for the five of us to stretch out and enjoy the ride, even with the dog and all of our gear tagging along. Safety and reliability are key, and Rudy Luther Toyota Siennas are the most safe, most reliable vehicles we've ever driven. Test drive one yourself at Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Hey, welcome Welcome back, AM 950, the Progressive Voice in Minnesota. Talking with Mike Rothman today about why he wants to be the Attorney General for the state of Minnesota. And the attorneys general all across our country are doing things now that are coming into public view that many of us didn't pay a lot of attention to because it feels like the states are in a protection mode against a hostile administration in the Trump administration. At least many of us feel that the states are going to have to protect us. And it's a strange thing for a progressive like me to have to say, you know, states' rights are going to become really important for us against a renegade federal government. It starts to feel like someone flipped the script. And the attorneys generals are often the people who are having to be on the front line of that. So to that point, Mike, what do you know is coming in future years that will call upon your role as an attorney general for the state of Minnesota that a lot of us don't know to think about or only thinking about as, you know, in much, much less significant terms? What do you think the future is going to look like?
Well, I think it runs the gamut, actually. Mm-hmm. We're seeing a little bit about it in the last 2 years in terms of economic change, in terms of people feeling like they need people to stand strong for them on the issues that matter most to them. And we're in a turbulent time without a doubt. What I've been saying is I will protect your rights. I will stand strong to fight against unconstitutional and unlawful actions that harm Minnesotans, harm you, harm your families. And what that means, though, is in this time, and you've brought up a very important point of national change and turbulence, there have been actions, starting with immigration changes, immigration fights, to even some issues most recently this week, where attorney generals have stood up, collaborated, brought lawsuits that have, in essence, said, no, wait a minute, these are fundamental rights. So, for example, even as Commerce Commissioner, I stood strong on the immigration ban and joined in with our state's lawsuit. The first one, when that came out, I stood strong to fight back on some funds that they were cut, that the administration was cutting to people who needed access to health care. And then finally, when they rolled back very important climate change, progressive energy rules and standards, I stood up and we brought an action to stop that.
Yeah,
we need to continue to do that. And Doug, if you just one other thought here, even last week, think about this. The proposal to go to 3D plastic guns was crazy and out of the box. There's a law that prevents that. It's to prevent terrorism and it's to protect us. We have serious problem. I have teenage children. Serious problem of safety in our schools that we need to fight right now and work on every day. The next day after that, we had a rollback of our auto standards for fuel efficiency. And we need to stand up and fight to protect on those two. So it's not just consumer protection. So as Attorney General, I foresee over the next year or two, we're going to have to work very hard to make sure that Minnesotans are protected at home from a lot of what's happening. And then finally, I would just say this. Our economy is changing. When you go out to rural America, rural Minnesota, you go to suburban in Minnesota, in the metropolitan area, you need to make sure, we all need to understand and combine, we need to unify and find solutions to some very important issues.
What's your take on big corporations as Attorney General? This is something that comes up a lot. A lot of people ask about it. There's sort of fear that the government is too intrusive, and a lot of us feel like big corporations play a role in our society. That makes it very hard for your average person to function. And there's just different attitudes toward corporations as a whole, and especially big corporations. In Minnesota economy is built around some real internationally, significant monoliths when it comes to their corporate size and influence. What's your general take? You can get into specifics if you want, but how do you see yourself as our state's lawyer when it comes to big corporations?
One thing that we always have to be in Minnesota mindful of is that, you know, while we have had wonderful successes and do have them, there are big corporations, and many of them mostly are not from Minnesota. And as our economy over the last 25, 30 years has grown, it's the big corporations, the big ones, mm-hmm. that are gaining at the expense of the workers and the people, individuals. Hmm. You can see that with big banking, with the crisis.
Yeah.
When they were making profits, got away with that, and then left all of us with the bait. And that's the kind of activity that has to stop. We have to, again, I have a not on my watch mentality. I oversaw the state banks, and at that time we made sure that they were solvent. But going forward, you can name a number of these industries, but let's put it this way on a big picture. Monopolistic activity is against the law, and we need to work hard. As Attorney General, I would focus on antitrust matters to make sure that the big corporations are not combining at the expense, whether it's on the internet or however that works, at the expense, even on the healthcare, in the healthcare industry, at the expense of patients, at the expense of our local communities and all of us in Minnesota. So it's a very important issue. And as we go forward, it's at the top of mind for me to keep an eye on when being the Attorney General.
You're listening to Mike Rothman. He'd like you to hire him to be the state's lawyer, which is a curious thing that we do in this in our society, that we have an election and we have different kinds of roles that we elect people, offices that we elect people to serve in and to perform. And the state's lawyer as an elected office is one that a lot of people don't know how to think about, frankly. They might know a bit about their senator, certainly know about the president. They'll know about their congresspeople, maybe some people in their state house, in state senate. But boy, when it comes to some of these other roles, a lot of people just don't know how to think about it, right? So they end up voting for the one who has the endorsement from the party that they find themselves most affiliated with. It's a curious problem. And with only a couple of minutes left, one of the questions I always have for people running for office is that once you take that oath of office, you represent all the peoples of our state. You don't only represent the people who elected you. And you have to do something to work really hard to listen to and to hear from the people who think differently and voted against you and whose ideas they didn't like. And maybe their ideas you didn't find all that appealing either. How do you see yourself as the Attorney General being sure that you're listening to enough or staying engaged with the people who didn't vote for you as well as those who did?
Well, it's a very, very interesting question. You know, as Attorney General, and much like as I worked as Minnesota's Commerce Commissioner, when I took on that responsibility, you realize that I oversaw more than 20 industries, including the energy sector. Mm. And you have people who are individuals, you have people that are small businesses and large businesses, all for everybody trying to work to a great place, great opportunity for everybody in Minnesota. But there will be bad actors. And my view, and I have said, I did as Commerce Commissioner, and I will as Attorney General, is not on my watch. Meaning, if I see some bad activity or things that are deceptive, unfair, fraudulent, for example, senior financial abuse comes right to the top. If we have an opioid crisis, we're going to take that on. If we have high drug prices, let's go after the high drug prices. We need to go after the things that need to that affect everybody. And it does require you to have a policy or a thinking of, okay, let's keep an eye on these big, big issues. But at the same time, it's the people's lawyer. It's the people for the state of Minnesota. And it means that you're really working on behalf of everybody. But where I come from is a passion in my heart to help the individual, to help people, and to know that as a guiding principle, when these issues come in, our goal is to do what's best for all Minnesotans, but also to protect consumers, to make sure that there's fairness, that there's justice, and that we have an opportunity for everybody in Minnesota to succeed. And that's what it comes down to. And I think that, again, as Minnesota's Attorney General, I'm ready to protect everyone on day one, and I'll work hard for all of Minnesota. The only candidate with statewide experience in that perspective, from farm to farm and town to town. And I think when we're looking at the election on August 14th, I've been asking people to vote for me for that reason, that I will work hard for all Minnesotans.
Thank you, Mike. That's Mike Rothman. On Tuesday, he'd appreciate you getting out and considering him when you're making your vote for Attorney General for the state of Minnesota. Mike, thanks so much for being on the show today. I really appreciate it. All the best to you on 14th. And I encourage everyone that you know, listeners, to get out there and vote, because it really matters. And this is a time for all hands on deck. And your call is next Tuesday. Get your vote in.
Great to be with you, Doug.
Yeah, thanks so much, Mike.
National Camera Exchange's annual 10 sale is finally here for 3 days only, Friday, August 10th through Sunday, August 12th at our Golden Valley location. Join us for our biggest sale of the year, where you'll find savings of 50% off on closeout new, used, and refurbed digital cameras, lenses, binoculars, and accessories. Plus, save up to 50% for frames, albums, media cards, filters, accessories, and used equipment. Ready to upgrade your gear? Whether you're looking to sell or trade, our photography experts offer top dollar for your equipment. Bring your old cameras, lenses, or accessories to our Cash for Cameras event inside the tent, and we'll pay you on the spot. Get the gear you really want at this year's tent sale. Hurry in Friday through Sunday, August 10th through the 12th, for savings of up to 50% off on hundreds of tent sale exclusive items. Look for the giant tent at National Camera's Golden Valley location. More details at natcam.com.
Hi, I'm Mike Rothman, and I'm running to be Minnesota's Attorney General in the August 14th DFL primary. I'm ready to protect seniors on day one. Preventing senior abuse and exploitation will be one of my top priorities as Attorney General. I also will help seniors with affordable housing, rent, and health care. Seniors are targets because criminals know it's easier to exploit a senior with memory loss than it is to rob a bank. Catching and stopping fraud early can make the difference between having enough money to live on or not. As Minnesota's Commerce Commissioner, our state's top watchdog, I partnered with AARP, the Better Business Bureau, and local law enforcement to protect seniors from financial abuse. From lottery and Ponzi scams to online attacks on seniors, I took swift action to help seniors. By working with credit unions and banks, I made it easier to spot and stop senior fraud. My parents are seniors now, and I know firsthand how hard it can be. I'm Mike Rothman. I'm ready to protect seniors. Vote for Mike Rothman for Attorney General in the August 14th DFL primary.
Paid for by Mike Rothman for Minnesota.
Hello, humans. This is me, Ellie Krug, with Ellie 2.0 on Monday mornings from 7 to 8 a.m. This Monday, our theme is how education and idealism intertwine. I'll talk about an idealist you'd never heard of, an Iowa teacher who taught about discrimination, and another person who is an unlikely idealist, LeBron James. Yes, that LeBron. Tune in to hear the whole story. Ellie 2.0, engaging and real on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
With your AM 950 weather, this is Eric Nelson. Tonight will be mostly clear with a low around 66. Friday, sunny with a high near 87 and a low of 66. Saturday is looking to be warm and sunny with a high near 90 and a low around 67. Sunday we'll see a high of 87 and a low of 67. PJW Automotive offers quality and dependability the first time around. In business for over 30 years, PJW is capable of servicing all vehicles, cars and trucks alike. Located in New Brighton, one exit north of 694 and 35W. Try them once and you'll know why they say it's worth the drive to PJW Automotive.
Well, hey, my privilege to talk with Margaret Anderson Kelleher, a person whose public service I have known about for a very long time. I feel like you've been around politics as long as I've been paying attention to politics. So thanks for all your service and your choice to put your name and hat in the ring to be the congressional representative from the 5th District, which is the one that I live in. I appreciate you running, and thanks for being able to talk today.
Well, thank you, Doug, for having me on the show with you.
All right. So you're 5 days out or 6 days out, something like that. And you've been now campaigning for a very short period of time because a lot of people know that there was a short run up to someone having to make a decision if they're going to put their name in contention for this seat. I'm wondering what you've learned and noticed in the course of your running that are the policies that you're finding are most driving you forward as you're offering yourself to be our congressperson.
Sure. And thanks so much for that question. You know, first and foremost, as I've been traveling across the 5th Congressional District meeting with hopefully constituents in the future here, people are telling me that their number one concern is what the Trump administration is doing to our country and the attack on democracy. And they really have also expressed the want to send someone to Washington, D.C., mm-hmm. who both has some experience but also has gotten results. And so that really has been something that has resonated with me as we've gone forward. I've been telling people about my battles with Tim Pawlenty and the battles that we won, transportation and transit, the climate change bill with renewable energy standard, and things like that. And people have really responded to that.
That was one of the questions I wanted to ask you, and I'm asking all the people running for this seat because it matters to me. I've got, you know, Trump is deep in my psyche, and I feel like he's damaging the fabric of our constitutional democracy. So that really motivates me right now. Do you have an opinion yet about what role the House of Representatives that you would serve in should play in how it treats the Trump administration in our current situation, if it were that the Democrats were to control the House of Representatives, not just about impeachment, but really in restraining this president if he stays in office until the end of this term? Do you have a sense about how much to work with the White House? Are you one of those people that says, well, you find the places where you can work, even if it's not your preference? Or do you feel like there should be a different stance toward working with the Trump administration?
Well, I think the number one job of the U.S. House, if Democrats are in control, is to make sure that the Trump administration is held accountable for the policies that are being proposed by the president and by members of his administration. And the House is in a unique position for this because if in control, the Democrats can then both use the power of subpoena as well as oversight to be able to call those administration officials before committees. And that does a couple of things, Doug. It's something that I have had experience with in the years with Tim Pawlenty, the 4 years I was Speaker of the House. When he proposed his mean-spirited budget in 2008 that really cut the pieces out of Minnesotans in terms of especially poor Minnesotans, it really hurt the elderly, and it hurt students a lot. We were able to hold legislative oversight hearings that really held him accountable and his administration by bringing his commissioners before us, as well as people who are going to be impacted by those cuts. That's the sort of thing that the U.S. House just has to do.
Now, I know that it's sort of a rule of thumb when you're running for office, and I think it's probably a good one, to not talk so much about your opponents, but to talk about yourself. But it feels like one of the things that a lot of us are struggling with in making a choice who are in this district is that there's five candidates, all of whom on many policies feel like they're in similar places. There's some policy distinctions, but it feels like we're voting for what person do we want to represent those policies, not so much a choice just about the policies. So I want to ask you first, do you see it that way? And what is it about you that you think is the standout personal feature of your candidacy and of your offering that people should pay attention to if they're having to choose not between just policies, but also the person? Mm-hmm.
So I'd say that with the candidates left in the race, there are five candidates actively campaigning on the ballot. I think four of the five have fairly similar types of positions. And so, you know, people will see that in both if they go back and watch debates or listen to things. I think that where I stand out is what the Star Tribune said in their endorsement of me. I really led the way on a number of these issues where there had been log jams and roadblocks for 20 plus years on being able to get anything done. And so I both believe that you have to bring passion and bring voice to the issues that people care about, but you also need to know on day one a way to be effective. And I think I can do that because of my past experience and record. And the other part is experience with results. And so the results, like the transportation override, results like the renewable energy standard, results that got done for Minnesotans, being able to you know, slow down Tim Pawlenty's terrible budget issues and actually take him on. I happened to, as Speaker of the House, join into a lawsuit at the Supreme Court level challenging Tim Pawlenty's ability to use what's called unallotment from the state budget, and we won. So that's the sort of thing that's different with me. And I think if people read that Star Tribune editorial that came out yesterday, August 8th, they're gonna read about that.
One of the questions facing any Democrat running for Congress is, would you support Nancy Pelosi as the Speaker of the House? And I know that's a loaded question, and it might be something that, you know, you've got a ready answer for. But it seems to represent Nancy Pelosi represents a particular style and particular history of the Democratic Party in Congress. What are your thoughts on where your support would be for a Speaker Pelosi for another term?
Well, I think that ultimately Leader Pelosi will come to her own decision whether to seek the speakership. Right now, she's been leading the minority of Democrats and trying to regain control. So it's a little bit like, I know that many of your listeners maybe have served in the armed forces in the past. And so it's kind of a little like having someone who is your leader or the general and the leader in the battle. And if they bring you through the battle and you have a very large majority, then I don't believe that people are going to challenge her, actually. And so I would vote for her. And I think that that's one of those issues that it may change in between now and next November or December in terms of what we're seeing out there. But I think right now I don't see other people actively running for speaker, partly because there's not a majority. And I don't see anyone stepping up to lead the party as a minority leader either.
I see. There are people, you know, who talk on radio shows and are pundits and make their way and their reputation and living off of talking about politics are big into talking right now about the inevitable and very clear divide that there seems to be in the more standard kind of traditional Republic or Democrats and the more progressive Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren wing of the Democratic Party. And many of us are clear on the divisions in the Republican Party, but in the Democratic Party, how do you see that? Do you think the pundits who are saying this and saying that there's deep division and deep divides and where do you put yourself?
So I would say that there are differences of strategy and there's some differences on policy in terms of how fast to move on certain issues. I do not believe these are nearly as deep as the press writes about. Mm-hmm. And we need to be focused on, you know, Democrats do not control the U.S. Senate or the U.S. House or the presidency. And so I would really urge folks to come together around values that we do all share about defeating the Trump administration and being able to put Democrats in control. I think that we fall a bit prey to internal fight that, you know, needs to happen at some point, at some level. But right now, we need to stay focused on these elections and be able to regain control of both the U.S. Senate and the U.S. House to really be able to stop Donald Trump and his administration. And so, you know, I really like Elizabeth Warren a lot. I was at the event that was done for the Wellstone Action anniversary and heard her speak, got to meet her. I've been cheering her along all the way. And I think that, you know, I really like a lot of her policies. They make sense to me. That's where I am right now.
There was my sense is that in 2016, Democrats, and especially Hillary Clinton, but across the board, Democrats tended to lose at least the enthusiasm, if not the votes, of people who felt like the way Bernie Sanders was treated in the process didn't represent them any longer, and it was hard for them to stay impassioned. That's very true of some people in Minnesota. I talked to people about that a lot. They felt very set aside. Do you have any particular ways or strategies that you're using to connect those people that feel like they've been ignored or set aside or lost and want to know if the Democratic Party is a place for them or not?
Well, I think the Democratic Party should always be a welcoming party to everyone in terms of their point of view, no matter what candidate they have supported. For many years, I often supported candidates for president who did not win. So, I mean, not that they were nominated. I'm talking about I was a far more left candidate person. And I know this feeling of supporting a candidate who doesn't make it through to get the endorsement and nomination of the party. And so I would just invite people to stay involved and to keep raising the issues at the level that they feel comfortable being involved at, whether it's the local, state, or federal level. It is very important to have all the voices together. I think I'm uniquely qualified there, mm-hmm. too, having led a state House of Representatives that
Hey, Margaret, I don't know if you can hear me, but I've sort of lost you here.
Karen Clark and on the House side and folks like Tina Liebling. And then we also had people who were much more conservative as Democrats. Mm-hmm. And being able to always come together and work together on policies that we could pass was very important. This is an important part of the legislative process that people get heard, and then things get moved forward.
Thank you. You're listening to Margaret Anderson Kelleher. She is seeking your vote in the primary on Tuesday. And please, if you listen to this, be sure that you go and vote.
What kind of a jackass would let an animal pick their insurance? Did you really think a lizard could save you money on car insurance? Would you let a duck pick your health policy? Insurance can be a zoo, but this is ridiculous. What you really need is an insurance agent that isn't looking out for the insurance companies. You need Cheryl at Array, an independent agent with 30 years experience looking for the best rate possible. Quit monkeying around and call 763-504-3067. That's 763-504-3067 for Cheryl at Array, representing you, not the insurance companies.
Warning, stand-up records may cause intestinal distress, fits of insane laughter, instant diarrhea, existential malaise, headaches, nausea, dizziness, vomiting, seasonal affective disorder, more headaches, pneumomono ultramicroscopic silicovolcanoconiosis. Stand-up records should not be handled by women who are pregnant, may become pregnant, have ever been pregnant, or personally know anyone who has been pregnant. Do not consult your doctor if he's operating heavy machinery. Stand-up records is for external application only. And stand-up records is, of course, good for a few laughs. So remember that standuprecords.com for the world's finest comedy CDs, DVDs, and merchandise. That's standuprecords.com. The revolution will be hilarious.
Hi, this is Paul Metz, inviting you to listen to the Wall of Power Radio Hour every weekend on AM 950. We are now in our third year of broadcasting on the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. MinPost has called us one of the 22 most independently entertaining and cool radio shows in the Twin Cities. We feature cool people from all walks of life and from all 50 states every Saturday at 6 p.m., replayed Sunday at 4 p.m. on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
This is Chad, owner of AM950, here to tell you about Snap Construction. They're experts in roofing, siding, window, and insurance restoration. They have energy-efficient products available for both residential and commercial properties. This spring, when we needed a company to take a look at a problem with our roof, I called the company I knew I could trust, Snap Construction. I've known Ryan, the owner at Snap Construction, for years, so I knew I could trust him. Don't just take my word for it. Check out their reviews online. They are arguably the most well-reviewed exterior contractor online in the metro area. Over the years, Ryan has always said the same thing to me about his work. If we build it, shouldn't we be held accountable for the work indefinitely? He backed that statement up years ago when Snap Construction was a pioneer in offering a lifetime craftsmanship guarantee on all their work. For a free estimate or general questions, call the locally owned company AM950 Trusts, Snap Construction, at 612-333-SNAP. That's 612-333-SNAP, or find them online at snapconstruction.com. They have financing options available.
All right, hey all, welcome back. I'm talking to Margaret Anderson Kelleher. She's seeking your vote in the primary on August 14th for the 5th Congressional District, so she can be on the ballot in November. And Margaret, it seems to me that whoever wins this primary is going to win that election in November. I think it's a foregone conclusion that the Democrat and the DFL-endorsed candidate on the ballot is going to win. So it feels like you're having to run for Congress in a very short window and a very short period of time. It's a bit of a daunting task, it seems to me. So I want to ask you this question, and this is a bit of a philosophical question about how we handle our representation in our country. And I'm asking all the candidates this because I think their response to this is personally interesting to me. We have this structure in which we use a representative form of government, which means that we don't poll the populace to set most of our laws. Now, sometimes we'll have some kind of a referendum, but especially in Minnesota, we're not legislating by referendum. We elect people who represent their constituency. And that seems to me that it puts sometimes some pressure and conflict on a representative to decide, do I represent my constituency's views, or do I need to step out and to lead, even though I'd be a bit out of step with my constituency or my party, but I think this is the right thing to do. So sort of putting on your political science hat for a minute, how have you in the past and how would you as a congressperson reconcile or process that kind of a decision that has to be made?
I think that is a key decision, and how people understand it is so important in how people are making their decision about who to send from the 5th District to Congress. So first and foremost, being able to be present in all parts of the district is really important. I happen to be sitting in Fridley right now talking to you, and I think that is a good sign for constituents across the 5th Congressional District. I have the broadest support from local elected leaders, whether they're in the suburbs or in the city. And being able to do that is important because it has to do with how you are able to reach out to constituents and hear what their concerns are. And that's a top priority of mine, both from the constituent services standpoint as well as the listening and feedback standpoint. The ability to do something like Congress on Your Corner and come into each community in a place where people know you're going to be and come and visit with you, whether it's a coffee shop or a restaurant or a library, and have direct access to your member of Congress. That'll be important for me. But the second part of that is, Doug, exactly what you said. You will, as a member of Congress, get information that you will read, that you will, be able to look at in regard to an issue. And then it's really that informed decision that helps you as a elected member cast that vote. And you're right on to it. I mean, this is, we don't have the direct democracy form of government. We have representative government. And that means the combination of how your constituents feel, the information you can take from them, and what you can build on with other reading, analysis, and information you can gather together.
Now, one of your strengths that you talk about and on your website, you've brought it up here, is that you have experience and you have had enough insider work inside the DFL to have endorsements, and people know you. They think about you when they think about strong leadership. Like you're a well-known commodity as a leader in politics in Minnesota. So that's a strength for sure. But all of us know that sometimes our strengths can also become our struggles. As a party insider, what do you think is the downside of that, that other people would notice and that you notice that you realize you're going to have to accommodate because being a party insider is not always doesn't always give you the benefits without some of the downsides?
So, Doug, I just have to point out that I've been out of office for 8 years working in the world of science and technology and workforce. And so I would hardly call me a party insider.
You're an insider and an outsider at the same time.
Okay. I'm a little of both. And yeah. I think that what it means is that broad experience of both having experienced 12 years in the legislature, 4 years as Speaker of the House, understanding particularly process is important here for constituents about how you move things forward. But the other part of that is I've had a broad range of outside community-based mm-hmm. experiences, and that I bring as well to make sure that that's balanced. I think we talked about this, I didn't even attend the state DFL convention this year. I think maybe some of the other folks in this race did and were quite involved in it, but I did not. I actually went to graduation parties over that weekend.
So you see yourself approaching it now with an outsider's perspective, even though you have a history and a pedigree that would look like an insider.
I think it's a combo approach.
Yeah, that's great. Okay, so my final question for you, we have about 3 minutes left, and this one's wide open for you. What do you wish people would ask you more about, or that you had more time to talk about in interviews like this, or when you're on the campaign trail? What do you wish you could talk about that you don't feel like you have enough time to get into?
Well, I think that first of all, the overall part of that is that often you have very little time to respond quickly to a deep issue, something that, you know, often you could sit down and have a half an hour long conversation with someone about, whether it's Medicare for All and my support of that issue, whether we're talking about the women's right to choose and how, as Speaker of the House, even though it was a pro-life House, not one single thing ever passed the Minnesota House while I was Speaker, because I am a strong supporter of issues around reproductive freedom and health. So I think that those are the types of things that you don't always get to bring forward in the 30-second answer or the 60-second answer that we often get. I think the other part is my strong environmental background. For all of the years I was in the legislature, I actually served on Environment and Natural Resources Committee, both the Finance and the Policy Committee. And that is how, when I became Speaker, then I was able to work with my colleagues and work in coalition across party lines, actually, to bring about the renewable energy standards. Still one of the really amazing pieces of legislation that has continued to both improve our climate and our economy.
That's Margaret Anderson Kelleher. She's back in politics, been away for a while. How does that feel? You've got an election coming up once again, which I'm sure is something that when you stepped away, you maybe said, I'm glad to not feel like I'm under the microscope of people's judgments of how well I'm doing my job or if they're going to vote for me or not. That is it's an emotionally risky thing to put yourself out there and say, hey, pick me, don't pick the other person. It can stir up that junior high feeling of pick me, pick me, pick me. How's it feeling being back in the electoral politics game?
Well, Doug, I've been really enjoying this campaign, being able to get out, meet and greet, talk with people.
Yeah.
And frankly, I think the best way to do politics is to really focus on those issues and how you're going to approach the issues, how you're going to represent people. And that's what I've been doing the whole time. So I don't have so much that feeling. I think that it's really about, being able to put out yourself and your ideas and how you will approach the job. And I believe that we've been running a pretty, positive, forward-focused campaign here.
Well, congratulations on that, and all the best to you on Tuesday. I hope it's a huge turnout, and I hope things turn out well for you. Thank you, Margaret Anderson.
Thanks so much. Everyone go out and be a voter.
I love it. Thanks so much.